Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello again, everybody. Coming up later this hour, Republican mayoral hopeful Joe Loda will be here for our call-in round with mayoral primary candidates. Joe Loda will take your calls. We had his rival, the Republican hopeful John Catsimatidis, just the other day. But first, I think the winner of Wednesday's Democratic mayoral candidates debate was universal pre-K. One of the substantive differences between the candidates was how they'd fund it, but not whether they want it. Joining me to talk about why it's so popular and how the various candidates want to provide it is Jeffrey Decker, a staff reporter at GothamSchools.org. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So I asked this question in the debate of the candidates about rising inequality and the idea of taxing the very highest earners in New York City, $500,000 a year plus, as a way of addressing it and devoting all the extra revenue to pre-K. That's the proposal from Bill de Blasio that's taken a bit of center stage recently. So let's listen to a little bit of de Blasio's answer to the question of why the extra tax revenue that he would raise should go to funding full-day pre-K.
For those who make a half million or more, a small increase in the local tax rate from 3.9% to 4.3% for the next 5 years. But what it would mean in terms of addressing inequality would be vast, and especially because we would reach kids when they are most able to learn and when we're most able to fight back against the disadvantages they may have experienced. Reaching them when they're 3 years old and 4 years old is the greatest time to educate our children and set them on the right path so they can and will graduate and be as strong members of our economy today.
Bill de Blasio from Wednesday night's debate. So, Jeffrey, is that a widely accepted argument for full-day pre-K, that it makes up for economic disadvantages by starting education young?
Yeah, early education is sort of one of the there's probably a very wide body of research for this initiative. Basically, it's been shown that a human's brain has been developed up to 85% by the time that they're 5 years old, and so a lot of the learning gap has already occurred by the time that many students are in kindergarten. So by the time that they reach that, students who have been exposed to a certain kind of backgrounds, more reading, more language, will be more equipped to succeed once they get into regular school than other students who might not have those types of benefits.
So listeners, is this an issue that could determine who you will vote for in the mayoral race, primary or general? Are you a parent or a preschool teacher maybe? What limits are you running up against in finding a pre-K program for your child? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you want to weigh in on any aspect of pre-K as a central priority for New York City, if it is, how it should be. How much demand is there for a full-day pre-K? Jeffrey, I think de Blasio cited a figure of 50,000 children in need of spots.
Yeah, that's almost 50,000 students are not enrolled in full-day pre-K. A large proportion of those students, like 40,000, are enrolled in like a half-day program where it's a two-and-a-half-hour program. Parents don't want it, especially parents who have to balance jobs on top of, running a household. They have to drop their kid off in the morning, pick him up a couple hours later. That's not something that's really easy for a lot of working parents to do. And research shows that half-day programs have a really negligible effect on learning, if any difference at all. So, I think what Bill de Blasio has said is that if we can convert those seats into full-day seats and enroll these students in full-day programs, we'll take advantage of the benefits true benefits of early childhood education, and while also allowing more parents to opt into this program.
Is there really good data that half-day pre-K doesn't make a big educational difference while full-day does? I mean, We're talking about four-year-olds. If they're going to school for 3 hours, that's so different if they're going to school for six.
It's better. It's certainly better than nothing. But advocates say that this fuller, more enriching experience means that you're able to balance an actual learning curriculum with enrichment activities, which allows some students to be exposed to a lot of different types of learning activities at a young age. And that's the type of thing that young students should be exposed to. It's not just learning, but they should be exposed to more social interaction, more open space activities. And you really want a more a longer time to do that.
So I would love to hear from some pre-K teachers in this segment. Listeners, if you teach pre-K, what do you do with four-year-olds? What can you do in 6 hours that you can't do in 2.5 or 3 hours? Is it about math and the beginning aspects of reading at the age of four? Or is it more about socialization and what Jeffrey Decker from Gotham Schools calls spatial skills? 212-433-WNYC. And listeners, is this an issue that resonates with you as a priority in the mayoral campaign? Bill de Blasio is hoping that it is. 212-433-9692. And in response to de Blasio's answer that we just replayed from Wednesday night's debate, here was Bill Thompson's, part of Bill Thompson's response. He is not calling for a tax increase on people making $500,000 a year or more. Said we wouldn't need to raise more taxes in order to fund pre-K. Here's why.
Right now, we send money back to the state of New York for pre-K. The governor has already indicated that he wants to see and wants to work together on universal pre-K. That's what the mayor of the city of New York should be doing right now, working to make sure that those dollars that are returned each and every year for pre-K, that we turn those into full-day pre-K, and we fight to get the space that's needed, because okay, right now, that's the biggest problem.
So, Jeffrey Decker from Gotham Schools, there's a couple of ideas there. One, that we send money back from New York City to Albany and could fund pre-K in some other way, and that the issue is space rather than money. What money are we sending back?
Yeah, it's a couple of issues there. You're right, and it's a bit convoluted. I mean, so the sum that the city receives in universal pre-K funding from the state, which has to be allocated for half-day seats, and the original idea behind that was to allow make it more available to a broader base of people. It's between $225 million and $250 million. That's been cut a little bit, so it's been closer to $225 million in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. The city, in the last couple of years, has returned a pretty small sum. Last year, it was $2.1 million. The year before that, it was $4.9 million. And, but they used to return, when it was closer to $250 million, it was closer to like $30 million. But the reason for that is, again, like I said, there's just not a demand for these half-day seats. And so one thing that...
When you say not a demand for the half-day seats, you mean because a lot of parents work all day, they won't even enroll their kids in half-day free public pre-kindergarten?
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much asking parents to drop their student off in the morning and pick them up in a couple of hours. And I think while advocates have really tried to make this program, make parents know about this program, there just hasn't been a demand for it.
All right. So that's one issue. And the other one that Thompson raised in that clip is space.
Well, I want to just make sure. I mean, before there is that sum of money is not available for full day seats, and de Blasio would have to, he has included this sum in his proposal, and he would have to go up to Albany and convince lawmakers to convert the money that has to be right now allocated for half day seating to full day seating.
Uh-huh.
And even though he concludes that in his proposal, he doesn't articulate that, the step that it needs to take.
So in other words, the legislature in Albany, in its wisdom, has said, here's money for pre-K. You may only use it for half-day pre-K. You may not apply it plus some money of your own to full-day pre-K. Is that what they did?
That's right. Oh. And the wisdom behind it was that it originally was for it to be more...
More kids,
right. But one thing that the city maybe could be doing more of is making... is encouraging parents to enroll in these half-day seats, but the mayor and city officials have actually lobbied to convert this half-day seating into full-day seating.
Right, I see. So that's not insane, really. People may disagree with it, but it's not insane to say the premise, the foundation here is universal pre-K, every child. And so we'll start, if this is the money available, with universal half-day pre-K, and everybody's in, and then if we can find the money later for universal full-day pre-K, that's better than having full-day pre-K but only for some kids. That ultimately is what Albany said, right?
Right, yes.
All right. But de Blasio wants to take that money, apply it to full-day, and supplement it with money from his city income tax hike on the very wealthiest earners to give everybody the opportunity for full-day pre-K for their 4-year-old. So that's the proposal. Now the issue
which would also need state approval,
right,
by the way.
And so what's this issue of space?
Yeah, right. I mean, it doesn't include money. That's just in the operating budget. What he would need to do is shift money from capital spending projections to basically like build more space for these programs. If you're going to be increasing enrollment by 50,000 in buildings that are going to be open all day long, you would need to have basically create more classroom space. Part of the budget is for leasing space, and that would come out of the operating budget. $50 million he's allocated for it. But and he said this before that the capital funding, he would have to have a significant amount of the capital funding to either renovate space or build new space for these new pre-K slots. It couldn't just be done in school buildings.
For tens of thousands of kids. All right, we'll continue in a minute with Jeffrey Decker from Gotham Schools on universal pre-K as an issue in the mayoral race and a priority for New York City. Our lines are full. We'll get to some of your callers, to your calls, pre-K teachers and others. When we return, Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in 10 minutes, Republican mayoral hopeful Joe Loda will take your calls. Question time for candidate Loda coming up in 10 minutes. Until then, your calls on universal pre-K as an issue in the New York City mayoral campaign and as a priority or not for New York City, 212-433-WNYC with Jeffrey Decker, staff reporter at GothamSchools.org. Dina in Mamaroneck, you're a pre-K teacher?
I am. I actually teach in Wisconsin right now in a half-day program, but I taught at a private school in Manhattan a couple years ago, and then that was a full-day pre-K program.
Okay. And?
And I think if you are doing it right, if the teachers are doing it right with a play-based program, I think a half-day program is just as valuable, if not better than a full-day program. Because frankly, these little kids are exhausted. They are so tired by 12 o'clock. Or, you know, when they come in the afternoon, that, you know, 3 hours is perfect. And, you know, we have to start thinking about the kids. Yes, the parents are important, but we have to think about the kids first. And, you know, the challenge is tying it into, you know, meeting the parents' needs. But I don't think it should be in a school-based program. I think other organizations should provide the enrichment, because if you have a half-day program, you're meeting twice as many children.
Diana, thank you. So there's the dissenting point of view. And how about the first part of that, Jeffrey, that the kids at 4 years old are actually exhausted after a half day of school?
Yeah, that's a fair point. All I can say, I mean, so there's some mixed studies on the Head Start program, which is a full day pre-program, and that's a federally funded program. Not sure how many of those seats are in New York City, but you know, the research shows that there are learning gains that are achieved at the early age, and that is based on longer hours. Some of those gains are lost by fourth grade, but it's unclear, you know, why those gains are lost. Some say it's because the school that they go to eventually is not as strong as what the Head Start program originally put them on. But no, I think that's a very valid point, and I think that. But I think that as much exposure to for students who are not otherwise being engaged in certain types of learning is a good thing.
Arlene and Mawa, you're on WNYC. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, good morning. I'm a complete advocate for full-day pre-K because I've had both. As a single parent of twins, I didn't have the money to put my children in pre-K, full-day pre-K. I was lucky enough to get a scholarship to one of the Jewish schools for them, but because I was on scholarship, they could only go for the 3 hours, which I thought was very unfair. Anyhow, towards the end, I was able to get them into Head Start, which was full day, and it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. The teachers were great. It was just a great interaction between learning to read, building skills, socialization. It was wonderful.
Were they, having had both, were they exhausted at 12 o'clock and more exhausted at 3 o'clock and maybe got less out of it as a result, as the previous caller was suggesting?
No, because actually in Head Start, they take a little nap. Maybe it's a 45-minute nap. And it was, quite adorable. They had, you had to bring a blanket, and they all laid down, and they had to be quiet. And if there were some children that were hyperactive and couldn't sleep, they sat there quietly, mm-hmm. and they had, one or two books that they could choose, and they sat and looked at the books.
Arlene, did you tell our screener that as a result of your kids only being in half-day pre-K for a while, you couldn't take a full-time job?
Exactly. That was my second point. And for me, as a single parent, it's so unfortunate because it's really based on finances. So I couldn't get a full-day job. What full-day job could you get for 3 hours? I'll tell you as a parent, and specifically as a single parent, what you can get done in 3 hours. You can, one, do the wash. If you're, not fortunate enough to have your own washer and dryer, you have to drive or, walk, if you're in the city, to a laundromat. And you have to sit there and you have to do the laundry. Young kids make lots of messes. I mean, you're always doing laundry. It's a fact of life. So you get your laundry done. If you're lucky, you get a shower, because if you're a single parent, who's going to watch your children while you get in the shower if they're young? I mean, you can't not watch them at all. I mean, you have to keep, constant eye on them.
So is it the public's responsibility to fund the daycare aspect of parents' needs? Not that pre-K isn't valuable from an educational and socialization standpoint. But is it everybody else's responsibility to make sure you have enough funding to put your kids somewhere while you go to work?
Well, that's a very interesting question. For me, I couldn't go back to school to get my teaching license, so I was not as productive a member of society because I had to wait till they were in, full-day school so that I could do that. So I'm a teacher now, but I had to wait many years, which affected, what I could give back to society. So, it's a toss-up. Do you want kids sitting in front of, Sesame Street and things, or do you want their minds being stimulated for, more hours, that other kids whose parents do have more money and can afford, full day pre-K.
Yeah,
I mean,
can't
it,
do it.
Balances out. I think it balances out, and you make more productive citizens all the way around.
Arlene, thank you so much for checking in. I really appreciate it. Good luck to you and your twins. Yeah, Jeffrey?
I was just going to add the babysitting aspect has always been a concern of some, like ensuring, and I don't think we've talked about this, is like ensuring that whatever programs are added to De Blasio's plan, if he's elected, would be how are you going to ensure that high quality seating are is going to be insured for these students? You know, is it just going to be a chance where students come into the school and play games all day? And of course, that sometimes is actually a strong way to teach a young mind. But you know, there are proven teaching practices for early learning and mm-hmm. some that are not. So ensuring that there's high quality is certainly an important
one
part of this whole conversation.
All right. I think we have a parent calling about the space issue. Matthew in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. What you got?
I just don't think there's enough room for universal pre-K. Certainly over here in Brownstone, Brooklyn, we're at capacity in our school. I've seen my son's classes go from 21 kids to 31 kids, and we're getting rid of the art room and soon probably the science room to make room for more classes. So.
This is not pre-K, but in an elementary school?
Exactly, which would house the pre-K. And I, over the last 12 years, I just haven't seen enough investment made in the infrastructure for schools to match the other development that
So would it be a priority for you as a New Yorker, as a parent, as a voter, if you vote, to have this tax hike on the wealthiest New Yorkers' incomes to provide space to, you know, help gather the money for the space for universal pre-K?
I don't know where the money would come from, but I would support anything to increase the educational as a priority.
Matthew,
certainly the infrastructure.
Thank you very much. Jeffrey, we have less than a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. No, go I ahead. Was actually going to ask the caller something, but...
Well, go ahead. Okay. What's your question?
I was going to ask if he was referring to a pre-K program that is run by the school or if he was just talking about school space, because if he's from Brownstone, Brooklyn, he's probably from District 15, which is one of the – he's right. It's a very overcrowded overcrowded district when it comes to pre-K sitting. A lot of their schools run – a lot of schools run pre-K programs versus you know, outside private organizations. And so I was just going to ask if...
Yeah, is that the case for you, Matthew? Is the pre-K in your elementary school?
It is.
So there you go. And would that be the model or not necessarily?
I don't think he's, you know, he hasn't... If you're talking about Bill de Blasio, I don't think he's articulated that fully. What he has said right now state law prohibits charter schools from operating, from basically serving students who are under the age of five. And so charter school advocates have been lobbying up in Albany to get that law overturned. He said that he would not want to extend the services to allow charter schools to serve pre-K.
Right.
So he would have to figure out a way to, you know, what programs to serve these kids.
So there you go, folks. A closer look at the issue that I asked about in Wednesday night's Democratic mayoral primary debate and that has become a prominent issue around Bill de Blasio's call for a tax hike on the wealthiest New Yorkers to fund universal public pre-K in New York City. We thank Jeffrey Decker from GothamSchools.org for giving us all the context. Jeffrey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Your calls for Republican mayoral hopeful Joe Loda next. You can start getting in line now, especially if you're a registered Republican, but anyone may call 212-433-9692 for the former deputy mayor and chair of the MTA, Joe Loda, 212-433-9692.